This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. We're taking God's word. We're standing again. Thank you for being here today. You that are worshiping with us online, delighted to have you. This is what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 47. It says, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and a spear, but the battle is the Lord's." The battle is the Lord's. And let me tell you something, folks. It took me a long time to realize that. And I think I'm still learning it, that the battle is the Lord's. And He will give you into our hands. I want to talk to you about giants will show up in your life. Giants will show up in your life. I have a dear friend. His name is Dr. Ike Reichert. Actually, Barbara and my daughter, Savannah Abigail, was named after his daughter. That's where we got the name Abigail. That means her father's joy. One time, Ike and I were having a conversation, and he said, "Benny, I was pastoring New Hope Baptist Church in Fayetteville, Georgia." He said it was the second fastest growing church in the Southern Baptist Convention. He said it was exploding. He said, "Much like your church, we wasn't in the greatest location. We were kind of outside of town." But he said the church was growing. It was just doing wonderful. He said, "I was married to a beautiful redhead by the name of Cindy." And he said, "Cindy and I wanted to have a baby." And he said, "So we prayed and we fasted. And sure enough, God was faithful, church exploding, wonderful marriage. Found out that she was pregnant with a child." And he said the day that it was the day to go to the hospital, the day that I was going to become a dad, he said, "I was so excited and Cindy was so excited." But he said the story was this. He said that day at the hospital, my wife and child died. He said, "You know, when that happened to me," he said, "the first question I asked was why? Why?" You know, folks, if we live long enough, we'll all ask the why question. Why? Why does this happen? We all have those why questions. But then he said, "I moved from the why question," he said, "to the why me. I know it happened, but why did it have to be me?" But he said, "Then I moved from the why me, to the what. God, what do you have for me now? What do you have for me now?" Now let's clarify something. The Bible says this: man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Would that be you? When I know I was born of woman, would that be you? Did you get here another way? So the reality is, if we are born of woman, we're going to have a few days and there's going to be trouble. Somebody said, "Well, you know, you just got to name it, claim it, believe it, receive it, health and wealth, blab it and grab it." I've got a Greek word for that: hogwash. Hogwash. Now see, this is normal life. You're going to have troubles. But here's what I want you to understand. If you live long, you're going to have troubles. But every once in a while, a Goliath will show up. A Goliath showed up in my buddy Ike's life. A Goliath will show up. Maybe a death. Maybe a divorce. Maybe an affair. Maybe an abandonment. Maybe a termination. Maybe the report from the doctor's cancerous. It may mean the child says, "I'm an addict." It may mean the child says, "I'm gay." It may mean the betrayal of a friend. It may mean bankruptcy. Every once in a while in life, a Goliath shows up. And how do you handle it? How do you handle it when a Goliath shows up in your life? What I want us to do, I want us to look at the story and I want to see some things. The first thing I want us to see about this from the story is this. David came against a vicious enemy. Did you know as I studied Goliath, I noticed something. He was 6 cubits tall. That means, folks, he was 10 feet tall. That means he's 3 feet taller than Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, he's a big boy. He's 6 cubits tall, but the Bible says this. It says he has 6 pieces of armor. And then the Bible says this. It says the head of his spear weighs 600 shekels. All that may be coincidental, but I want you to notice 666. Every number in the Bible represents something. When you read number 6 in the Bible, it represents man. When you read number 3 in the Bible, it represents God. When you see the number 666, it's man making himself God. I want you to see something. I want you to see that Goliath had the might of Satan. He had the might of Satan. See, the problems that you're facing right now have less to do with people and more to do with demons. The problems that you're facing right now, you're equating it to people, but it has less to do with people and more to do with demons. Understand something. As you step out and you try to do more, you try to be better, you try to live closer, always remember, at new levels come new devils. That's a good tweet, by the way. At new levels come new devils. And Goliath had the might of Satan. But not only did Goliath have the might of Satan, but Goliath had the method of Satan. What is Satan's method? Well, look what he said in 1 Samuel 17, verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. What does Satan want? He wants us controlled by fear. He wants you controlled by fear. He wants me controlled by fear. So don't read into this something that I'm not saying. You said, Pastor Benny, how are you handling? How are you handling COVID? How are you handling it? Well, here's what I'm doing. I'm going to pray. I'm going to praise. I'm going to peer rail. And I'm not going to panic. Amen? That's what I'm going to do. I mean, listen, I realize, hey, if it's encouraging, I realize I'm not walking around licking doorknobs. I realize. But also, folks, I'm not going to live controlled by fear. Now, that I'm not preaching against wearing a mask. I wear a mask. Some places I go in, I wear a mask. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. This is not a mask or an unmasked message. Get that out of your head. I long for the day when our country can get back. I've often I said I can't wait till we get on that road that Paul was on. The road to de-mask us. Amen. but for right now, listen, I totally understand. My mother wears a mask constantly, and I totally understand. But here's all I want you to see. God does not want us just gripped and controlled by fear. Because 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Now, when I'm talking about fear, there's two things I want you to see. Number one, I want you to see focus. See, you know why for 40 days Goliath said, give me a man, and those Israelites were scared to death? I'll tell you why. Because they were focused on that giant. They were focused on that giant. David was focused on God. See, David went against that giant, and they said, David, he's so big he could hurt you. And David said, he's so big I can't miss. Amen? So focus. Then there's another word I want you to hear. It's the word freeze. You know what fear will do? It will freeze you. You've been through a bad relationship. You never want to get in another one because you said, Mark Twain said, if a cat ever sits on a hot stove, it'll never sit on a hot stove again. But Mark Twain said, you know, that cat won't sit on a cold stove either. It just don't like stoves. Amen? And sometimes people are frozen because of fear. I've had couples say to me, we're going to have children when we can afford to have children. You're never going to have children, amen? Pastor Benny, I'm going to start tithing when I can afford it. Well, folks, you'll never be able to afford it. You just got to step out and do it. I'm going to get married when I can afford it. This is you. The bride bent with age, leaned over her cane, her steps uncertain, needed guiding. While down the church aisle with a warm, toothless smile, the groom in a wheelchair gliding. And who is this elderly couple thus wed? You'll find when you closely explore it that this is the rare, most conservative pair who waited until they could afford it. Now get this. The might of Satan, the method of Satan. But what is the motive of Satan? What is the motive? Well, look what it says in 1 Samuel 17 and 9. Goliath said these words, if he be able to fight with me and kill me, this giant said, then we'll be your servants. But Goliath said, wait, if I win this jammy, then all Israel will be our servants. Here's what the enemy wants. He wants you to be a slave to what's controlling you. Some of you, that's guilt. Some of you, that's greed. Some, it's lust. Some, it's anger. Some, it's public opinion. Some, it's the credit card. Some, it's bitterness. But I want you to understand something. The whole plan of the enemy is for you to be a slave and for him to control you with that. If he can take that addiction and ruin and control your life, if he can take that vice and you're captive to it, he's got you just where he wants you. Understand something. Hear Pastor clearly on this. The children of Israel were slaves for 400 years. But never lose sight. They were the children of Israel. So that tells me that I can be in the family. I can be in the church. But yet I'm a slave to something. I'm a slave to something that's controlling my life. I'm a slave to gossip. I'm a slave to bitterness. I'm a slave to anger. I'm a slave to what everybody else thinks about me. So I buy things I don't need with money I don't have to impress people I don't like. Not only did David encounter a vicious enemy, but there's a second thing I want you to see. David engaged in a vicarious encounter. You said, Pastor, what do you mean he engaged in a vicarious encounter? Let me explain. When David defeated the giant, all Israel won. When Jesus defeated the devil, all humanity won. See, you got to understand something. David took a wooden sling and defeated the enemy. And Jesus took a wooden cross and defeated the enemy. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Romans 8:37 says, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. What does that mean? It means to over-conquer. I want you to get this. The battle's won. The battle over worry, over inferiority, over addiction, over fear, the battle is won. All you've got to do is reach out and claim it. The battle's not yours. The battle is the Lord's, and he's already won the battle. I started preaching when I was young. Came from a very dysfunctional family. Most of you know that. We lived in the backs of places that weren't the best. Grew up very, very dysfunctional. Didn't know who my father was until I was 30 years old. Very, very dysfunctional life. But I remember when I started preaching, my mother and I would go around to yard sales. And while we were going to these yard sales, I hope Mama's watching. She watches some on Sunday, and she types on there, I love you, Benny. And we'd go around to yard sales, and we'd buy me suits. And I knew for about $10 I could get a gray pinstripe suit. And, man, I'd get a gray pinstripe suit, and that day you wore the vest. And, hey, man, I'd put on the pinstripe suit and the vest, and I was ready to preach like a holy roller at a camp meeting. Amen. I was ready to go at it. And I came to Georgia, and that's what I was wearing. I was wearing those suits. And there was a family one day. They said, Pastor Benny, we want you to do something. I said, okay. They said, go to Duraney's. There used to be a place, I don't know if it exists anymore, but it was a place in Barnesville called Duraney's. And they said, go to Duraney's and get you a suit. And I said, okay. And I thought, I can't go to Duraney's and get a suit. I don't have any money to get a suit. So I just let the time pass. And 2 months later, Duraney's called me. And they said, we want you to come and get your suit. And I said, oh, well, tell me, explain. And they said, the suit is already paid for. I said, you're kidding. I said, for 2 months, I've been wearing this yard sale suit. For 2 months, I've been wearing this yard sale suit. And I mean, let me tell you something. I've got a brand new suit at Duraney's. All I've got to do to Barnesville is go down there and pick it up. Let me tell you something. It's paid for. The victory in your life is paid for. All you got to do is pick it up. There's nothing in your life that you can't overcome through the Lord. There's a third thing I want you to see. That is, David provides us a victorious example. David provides us a victorious example. You say, Pastor, I've got this big old giant. How did David take care of this big old giant? I'm going to give you 5 words, and I'll try to move fast. If you get finished before I do, just slip out. I'll try to move fast. The first word I want you to see is persistence. Persistence. Here's what I want you to understand. David had a lot of discouragement. His dad discouraged him. His brothers discouraged him. Saul discouraged him. I'm 56 years old. Many times, folks, your discouragement will come from those closest to you. Many times, it will be those closest to you that can't see it in you. They discouraged him. But you know what David did? He kept on going. See, it's persistence that got the snail on the ark. That's deep. It's persistence that got the snail on the ark. One of my heroes is a man named Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill was asked, Sir Winston Churchill, what prepared you to lead Britain through World War II when Germany dominated the Western world? And I love what he said. He said, the class that I repeated in grade school. What prepared you to lead Britain? He said, the class I repeated in grade school. And then the reporter said, "You flunked." And Sir Winston Churchill said, "I never flunked. I was given a second opportunity to get it right." Now, let me explain something. You say, "Pastor Benny, I failed. My marriage failed." No. Perhaps you was given a second opportunity to get it right. Amen? Well, and for some of you, you were given a third opportunity to get it right. and a fourth. And by the way, before we get real hard on anybody, I'm preaching today. I'm standing in this pulpit because my mother married a man. And my mother was his fourth wife. And this man, Don Mason, is the one who paid my way through Bible college. And I wouldn't be standing in the pulpit today if it wasn't for a man who was married four times. Just hang in there. Hang in there. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're traveling seems all uphill, when funds are low and debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tin of the clouds of doubt, and you never can tell how close you are. You may be near when it seems so far, so stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things go wrong that we must not quit. Amen? But there's a second thing I want you to see. Progression. You know what David did? He said, "I'm not worried about this giant, because the Lord delivered me out of a paw of a lion. The Lord delivered me out of a paw of a bear. He's going to take care of this giant too." This is all I challenge you to do on this point. You ought to keep a prayer journal. And you ought to look back in that prayer journal and say, "Look here, on this date, God answered this prayer." And what it'll build faith in your heart. I wish I could sing. I sing good, but I sound bad. That old song, "Amazing Grace," that was written by an old slave trader named John Newton. One line in that song says, "Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. It's grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." There's a third word I want you to see, and that's power. Ladies and gentlemen, our power is the Lord. Our power is not our strength. David understood that his strength was the Lord. Whatever's pulling you down, you can't overcome on your own. You need God. Whatever's pulling you down, you can't have victory on your own. You've got to come to God. There's a fourth thing I want you to see. That's proven equipment. Tell Franklin Graham I'll call him back. I'm busy. Proven equipment. Think about this. You remember when David was going to go up against the giant? Saul said, "Wear my armor." But Saul was a head taller than all the other men. David said, "No. I'm not going to wear your armor. I've got some equipment. I've got some weaponry." And by the way, the weaponry that David used is the weaponry that you need to use. Look here. This is so important. In Genesis 17, if a boy was circumcised, according to the Jewish law, on the eighth day, a child was circumcised. It symbolized the blessing of God. David knew that. Now look, in 1 Samuel 17, verse 26, he goes against the giant. He never called him a giant. He called him an uncircumcised Philistine. I don't mean this out of line. Please don't take it out of line. But it does kind of tell you what his view was. But get this. He knew from God's word that the blessing of God was not on that man. He knew he didn't have God's covenant blessing. He knew God's hand was not on him. And he knew God's hand was on him. And he knew, if God be for me, who can be against me? And he knew, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So all I'm going to say is this, folks. Your weaponry is the word of God. And your weaponry is prayer. Because David said, three times a day, I'm going to pray. I'm almost done, but I want to tell you this right quick. In Exodus 17, Israel was battling the Amalekites. And the Amalekites were cleaning their clock. And two men came named Aaron and Hur. And they lifted Moses' hands up on the mountain. And when Moses' hands were lifted up, the Israelites started winning the battle. It symbolized prayer. I want you to understand, there's a battle going on down here. But it's not won or lost down here. It's won or lost up there. It's won or lost through prayer. The last thing I want you to see is praise. Praise. David had not defeated the giant. But the Bible says this in 1 Samuel 17:46. This day, the Lord's going to deliver you into my hand. Get this down. The giant was in front of him. He was there. The giant didn't go away. Before he defeated the giant, he praised the Lord. Not after, but before. Somebody said, Pastor, I'm walking through hell. What do you recommend? Keep walking. Keep walking. If you're walking through hell, keep walking and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God for what he's done for you. I've been preaching all these years. And I told some people, I said, you know, for years I preached this story wrong. For years I did. Probably preached a lot of things wrong. But for sure I preached this story wrong. Because this is what I said, Brother Lou. My friend Lou Strigala, pastor friend, drove to be here from Atlantic City, New Jersey. He said, Pastor, the most we can have in a room in New Jersey is 20. I said, thank God I'm pastoring where the zip code is E-I-E-I-O. It wrong, because this is what I said. I said David killed the giant through God. I preached it, and I would say David killed the giant through God. I was so wrong. God killed the giant through David. God killed the giant through David. And come up real close. The only person who can kill the giant in your life is God. The only person who can kill the giant in your life is God. The only person who can handle the giant in your life is God. Because, see, I'm no match for a giant, and you're no match for a giant. But I've got good news. God is a match for your giant. Here's what I know. The title of the message, Giants Will Show Up. Oh, friend, but if you'll come to God, the giant may show up, but our God will show out. Our God will show out.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, It's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.